driven, but we're going to see today that he actually is. And I'll give you an example. If you're thinking and you're sitting there, you know what? I don't have a problem with emotions. I'm not emotionally led. I'm actually, you know, I'm spirit-led, I'm strong, or whatever it is. I'll give you an example from my own life. As many of you know, or if you didn't know, as my normal job, I'm a highway patrol officer. And back as of a year ago, I spent 9.5 years in uniform patrol driving a patrol car here in the East Valley. Now, one day, I was going to training, I was in a hurry, and I was driving on I-10, and there was another friend of mine who was traveling with me, and we had to stop in the middle of the road to get a big piece of debris out of the road. You've seen the big pieces of tire tread. It disables cars, all kinds of different chaos. Well, my buddy was going to go out with that, and I was going to do the traffic brake. And if you haven't seen a DPS officer do that, it's where they zigzag across all the lanes and slow down the traffic almost to a stop. So that was my job, so that my friend could get out and grab the piece of debris. So I'm getting all the traffic stopped. I have almost all the cars to a complete stop so my friend could go out in the middle of the road and get this piece of debris. And out of the corner of my eye, I see this guy driving down the shoulder, passing all of the cars at a high rate of speed. And then he gets to open road because he doesn't see me. I'm on the other side of the road blocking the traffic. And he just takes off out into the open lanes. And he doesn't see my friend. So at this point, I start to freak out. I take off after the guy, but luckily he sees my friend out there in the middle of the road. He slows down, and my friend kind of waves him off. He's like, go over on the side of the shoulder. We're going to have a talk, all right? So he's in trouble because he just pulls right over on the side of the shoulder. Well, my friend goes up to his window, and he's a little upset. He's talking to him in his driver's side window, and then Travis pulls up, all right? And I pull up behind him, and I get out, and my friend's at the window, and I'm like, well, I'm going to go to the passenger side. So I go over to the passenger side, and I almost rip the door off the hinges of his car, and I said, get out of the car right now. But that's only half of the story. I'm not going to tell you the words that I actually used and inserted into that sentence, all right? I'll be honest with you, all right? I'm going to be completely transparent. I used some choice words because at that point, I was completely and 100% emotionally led. I completely had an outburst of anger and emotions, and it just like spilled out into that little incident. In fact, I think the guy was shocked that I said that, but my buddy at the driver's side was even shocked too. His jaw was like down, like, whoa, is this Travis here? So we take care of the guy. I give him some tickets, maybe 2 or 3, get him on down the road. Because you can't be doing that. That's breaking the law, you know? My friend takes off, and then later on we get to training. And what does he do? He goes and tells the rest of the squad, you're never going to believe what Travis said on the side of the road. Because the whole squad knew that I was, you know, a Christian and I did ministry work. And they're like, you're never going to believe this. Like, this is what he said. So I had a whole squad of guys just giving me like elbows and a bunch of jeers and a bunch of problems when I got back, because at that point, I just blew it. And I share that story with you guys because all of us have times in our lives where when we lose it to emotions. And we're going to see in the story as we read in Samson that it's no different. In fact, on your note cards there's a verse that came to my mind out of the New Testament that really capitalizes what we're going to be talking about. And Paul says to Galatians in chapter 5, he says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. How many of us can identify with that, right? It's always the flesh that's opposing what we know we're supposed to be doing. Well, we're going to see that this morning as Samson and this life in chapter 14. The first emotion that we see with Samson as we pick up the story from last week in chapter 14 was that Samson burned with anger. If you remember when Pastor Darren left us off, we talked about how he threw this huge party for his wedding feast and he had all of his friends there. And it was at that point when Pastor Darren was talking to us that he said, you know what, I can handle this. And he wasn't supposed to be around all the alcohol. But it's at this point where it sets up the story of anger that's going to rise up within Samson. It says, and I'll put the verse up here, I'll show you. In chapter 14, 12 through 14, he says, and Samson said to them, he's talking to all of his friends. He had 30 of his companions there and all of their relatives and everyone else. Let me now put a riddle to you. If you can tell me what it is within the 7 days of the feast and find it out, then I will give you 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothes. But if you cannot tell me what it is, then you shall give me 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothes. And so they go on. The next slide. They say to him, put your riddle that we may hear it. And he said to them, out of the eater came something to eat, and out of the strong came something sweet. And in 3 days, they could not solve the riddle. So it picks up from the story from last week where Samson grabbed the honey out of the dead lion, violating his Nazirite vow. But it shows the arrogance of Samson. Because think about the implications of what's going to happen here. If they get it, they have 30 pieces of clothing with them right now. They just take the shirt off the guy's back next to him and they give it to him. But Samson, if he loses, he's got to come up with 30 pairs of clothes. 30 pairs of nice shoes, 30 pairs of socks, 30 pairs of denim jeans, whatever it is. He's got to come up with that. So you can see the arrogance already starting to rise in Samson while he's around him. But here's the deal. The plot thickens. It starts to change and it starts to go bad because look what his friends say in chapter 15. They say to his wife, the next slide, they say, entice your husband to tell us what the riddle is, lest we burn you and your father's house with fire. Now, what kind of friends is this? I mean, who needs enemies when you have friends and you're hanging around with guys like this? Did you catch that? They're basically bribing his wife. Hey, tell us what the answer to the riddle is, or you know what? We're going to kill you. You and your father both. That's the kind of friends that Samson was hanging around with. So guess what? You know what? It worked. His wife, being the woman, probably the weaker of the between the two, no offense, ladies, but you know what? She gave into it. She was probably in fear for her life. And so it worked. It actually worked because look what the Bible says in 17 through 18. It says she wept before him for 7 days at their feast. It doesn't say that she begged him. Doesn't say that she nagged him. No, she turned on all of it and she wept before him. She's probably throwing out all these emotions. She's just day in and day out, day in and day out. On the seventh day, he finally breaks and he tells her, he's like, all right, fine, woman, because she pressed him hard. She's weeping, all right? I'm trying to paint this picture here for you guys, all right? She's not texting him during the party. Hey, what's the answer? No, she's weeping before him. She's putting on this display and this show. So then she told the riddle to her people, and the men of the city said to him on the seventh day before the sun went down, what is sweeter than honey? What is stronger than a lion? They figured it out. Because of his wife, because they were able to manipulate her, and she wept before him, they figured out his riddle. Now, what do you think that did to Samson? You think he was pleased with that? Now he had to come up with 30 pairs of nice tennis shoes, all right? So here's the beginning of the breakdown for Samson. This is where it starts to really break and where he realizes at this point that he's been betrayed. And you know what? He knows who did it. He knows that his wife is the one who betrayed him, and he knows why she did it because he probably understood and probably knew what type of friends he was actually hanging around. And this is what he says. Here's the response that he gives to these guys. If you had not plowed with my heifer, you would not have found out my riddle. Now I heard somebody laugh over here. Okay, that's actually a good point. Let me take a moment here. Step away from my notes. Gentlemen, if there's anything that you get from today, I know it's not the big takeaway, but you might want to write it down. Do not, I repeat, do not call your wife a heifer, all right? Don't let this be the life verse of your marriage, okay? It's going to get you in a lot of trouble, all right? Because there's no better way to display your ignorance and your bad judgment than calling your wife a heifer, okay? So there we go. All right, amen for my wife. So do not do that, all right? I have no idea, but it's scripture right there. He called his wife a heifer. So maybe that was one of the emotions of being an idiot or something. But in the Bible, it goes on, and the Bible says that Samson burned with anger, and that's your fill in there on your notes. It says, and the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him, and he went out down to Ashkelon, and he struck down 30 men of the town and took their spoil and gave the garments to those that he had told the riddle. So Samson goes out and kills 30 innocent people. And then right there, burning with anger, he went back to his father's house, and Samson's wife was given to his companion who had been his best man. So Samson takes what God wants to be for the good. Again, this is, remember, the book of Judges. These guys are supposed to rise up and be the leaders for Israel and among the Hebrews. And look what Samson does with it. He exploits this power and this strength, and he kills 30 men for their clothes so that he can answer up to these other guys who are not even his friends anyway because they're the ones that are enticing and manipulating his wife just so that he can give and own up to this thing. But the point is here is that he's burning with anger, and he went back to his father's house, and his father had given his wife to somebody else. Did you catch that? I mean, talk about now turning the tides even more towards Samson's anger. So it says in Scripture that he was actually burning with anger and so incredibly frustrated and just having an emotional meltdown at this point. So this caused Samson to basically spiral out of control even more. And the Bible says that he goes and he's like, all right, I'm getting even with these Philistines. And he takes 300 foxes and he ties them together. And so he makes 150 groups and he puts a torch in between their tail. And he sets them out inside their fields of grain and then their olive gardens. And guess what? They all burn down. I mean, these foxes, if you can imagine, they're just going crazy all which way, spreading fire. They didn't have any kind of modern firefighting things and stuff back there. So their fields are burnt down to nothing. And what do you think that makes the Philistines? I mean, they are just royally upset. So it would be kind of like the modern version of Samson going to all of their cars in the parking lot and slashing their tires, taking a bat and hitting out their headlights or smashing their windshields. But we laugh because, but we've seen it in the music videos and the movies, right? But who's normally doing that in the videos? Anybody? The women are doing that, all right? Look at the music videos. It's the woman. What's that? I didn't catch it. It's, oh yeah, I guess I can't really like talk about all, but think about it. It's the women that are actually going out there to their ex-boyfriend's car or whoever it is, and they're bashing out all the things because that's what society wants to show us and wants to paint that picture, that the women are having these outbursts of emotions. And it's no offense to you ladies, but look at the story right here. Who's doing it in the story today? It's Samson. He's having this emoting and this emotional outburst that's completely childish and getting him into even more trouble, and he's doing this horrible destruction to the Philistines. So it's turning the tables than what we're normally used to. Now, ladies, like I said, I'm not picking on you, but it's Samson in this story who's actually emoting like what we've seen in normal things. But think about it. You might be saying, well, I don't do that. I've never smashed any windshields, right? Nobody? Okay, good. I've never taken a baseball bat to, you know, somebody's, like, headlights on their car slash tires. At least I hope you haven't. Okay, good. I don't see anybody slumping down in their seats. But think about this, man. When was the last time you did have an emotional outburst like what we see in this story? I've already been honest with you and shared an experience from my own job where I completely blew it and could have gotten myself into a lot of trouble with somebody from the public. But when was the last time, maybe it was at work, where you had an emotional outburst against a coworker, or maybe it was against your boss behind their back, and you vented to another coworker in a completely inappropriate emotional way? Or maybe it was at home. Maybe, men, you've had an emotional outbreak recently at home, and you've completely blown up against your wife and taken out all your frustration and anger against her, or maybe your kids. See, we all do it. There's all at times where we break down and we have just that emotional outburst like Samson did because we're not being spirit-led all the time. Or maybe you don't identify with either one of those, but maybe you're in a position this morning where if you really think about it, you're actually pushing God away because of your emotions. You've had an emotional outbreak against God and you've walled yourself up in your own anger and you've actually pushed him away. We all do it, friends. It's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when we do it. We have to be spirit-led. And we see in the story with Samson that it's basically causing more and more destruction in his life. Are you letting your emotions lead you, or are you being spirit-led? That is the question that God is calling to us this morning. But back to the story with Samson. It gets worse. In Judges, it says that the Philistines get revenge by doing something more horrible than any burnt field or burnt olive garden. Scripture actually says that they go and they actually burn down his wife and her dad in their house and kill them both. So what started as a celebration and as a marriage feast and a party turns into a bloodbath of destruction, all at the hands of Samson. 30 men lose their life. This father and this girl lose their life. And then it's just going to continue to get worse. Whatever Samson touches right now, it's turning to death and destruction because of his emotion. Let's go to the second point on your notes there. We've already seen how anger is beginning to bring destruction to Samson's life. The next one is pride. Samson was filled with pride. So Samson learns about what happens with his wife and his father, and now there's going to be even more destruction that comes. The Bible actually says that Samson takes off after he kills these 30 men and after he finds out that his wife is dead, and he goes and he hides in a cave. He's actually coaxed out by the Israelites to come back to the Philistines, and they tie him up with ropes so that he'll come back and they feel like they've kind of got him in control. But the story goes on, and we see here another point of where Samson's strength is manifested. It's supposed to be for the good, remember. He's supposed to be a judge who's going to lead Israel out of all of their hardships, but instead it's being for the destruction of human lives. The Bible says in chapter 15:15-6, when he comes back and he's bound, he found a fresh jawbone of a donkey, and he put his hand on it and took it, and he struck down 1,000 men. And Samson said, with the jawbone of a donkey, heaps upon heaps with the jawbone of a donkey, have I struck down 1,000 men. So here we go, another 1,000 lives that are being destroyed because of what Samson's doing. So think about this. We've already seen the strength of Samson manifested when he kills the lion with his bare hands. The Bible doesn't say that he used any kind of weapons when he killed the lion or the other 30 men when he took their clothes. Samson is doing this because of the strength that God is giving him. And then now with 30 men, it's not a sword, or I'm sorry, 1,000 men. It's not a sword, a spear, or a bow and arrow. He does it with a piece of bone that he finds on the ground, and he kills 1,000 men. It's apparent that what God wants to use for the good in Samson's life, he is using it for the wrong. And it's bringing destruction, and you can see that their issue is pride. It's starting to rise up in Samson's life. He's not being led by the Spirit like God wants him to be. And so that's the question for us. Are we being led by the Spirit this morning? Look at the verse that we just read at the end. I have struck down 1,000 men. It's an I statement. The biggest letter in the word pride is I. Samson is giving us a revelation into his heart and his own mindset when he says that last part of the verse, I have struck down 1,000 men. It's a clear indicator that Samson is being driven by the emotion of pride, and it's putting him in this downward cycle of destruction. It's a dangerous thing, pride. We've all struggled with it. If you're not struggling with it now, maybe it comes in seasons, but you know what? It creeps in. And it takes us by surprise, doesn't it? Pretty soon you find yourself like Samson and you're claiming credit for everything. Or maybe you're actually just thinking, you know what, I can handle this. Look what the Bible says about pride. In Proverbs 16, you probably have read this verse before. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. What's that mean? Hey, you know what, if you're going to live a prideful life, you are going to fail. That's what Proverbs says. It's as simple as that. So I have to ask, pride is the opposite of being spirit-led for sure. And who is leading you, or what is leading you this morning and today as you sit here and listen to this? Is it pride that's in your life that's leading you? It's simple and it's easy to allow that to creep up in, but think about it. It's pride that says, I can do this. I don't need any help. I don't need God in my life. I've got everything wrapped up. I've got my retirement set. I've got a good job, I make a good income, I've got a great family, I don't need God. I can do this. I can do this life without Him. It's pride that says that. Pride also says, I don't need God, I've got friends that can help me. I've got all the connections and all the resources in this natural world, I don't need God. Pride also says, kind of like that commercial with the guy carrying the big thing down the stairs, you've seen that. The wife wants to help him, and he's like, I've got this, I've got this. I mean, that's the epitome of pride, because we think we don't need God, but we do. If we're being spirit-led, we need God. And if you don't believe me, just look at what happens to Samson in the story. The story continues on in Judges chapter 15. He has just killed and slayed these 1,000 men, and look where it winds up, Samson. And he was very thirsty, and he called upon the Lord and said, You have granted this great salvation by the hand of your servant, and now shall I die of thirst and fall into the hands of the uncircumcised, basically the Philistines? And at that point, God split open the hollow place that is at Lehi, and water came out of it. And from when he drank, the spirit returned, and he revived. You see, after this incredible feat of strength, Samson was still in need. All of this anger, all of this pride, it drove Samson to a place in his life where he was in need of something more than what he could get with his own hands. He couldn't get water. It was the most simple of human needs, but he needed it desperately. He was going to die out there on that field. But it's in this moment of his great need that he finally gets it. He's finally at this place of brokenness and humbleness that what does he do? He lays down his pride, he lays down his anger, and he calls out to God. And God gives him what he needs. Breaks open a rock and makes a miracle happen right in front of him so he has water in the middle of the desert. Samson finally let his need drive him to God. Instead of being led by his emotions, at this moment, Samson began being led by his spirit. And that is exactly, friends, what God wants for us. Now, I know this series is really geared towards men, but this relates to every one of us in this place this morning. God wants to have you be led by his spirit, not your emotions. And if you allow your need to drive you to God, God is going to meet your greatest needs, just like what we did for Samson. But you have to ask yourself, are you being spirit-led? Or are you allowing your emotions to lead you down some other trail? Because if you're allowing the Spirit to lead you, then he's going to lead you in the right direction to where God can fulfill your needs and meet you where you are. Today, just like we've read in the story with Samson, today it is no different for us. We know that anger can creep up. We know that emotions can take over in our lives and we can have different attitudes. But we need to understand that the Bible understands that too. And that God has given us scripture and principles to live by. In fact, when I was preparing this message, I thought of this verse from Romans chapter 7. You probably have heard this passage before, but Paul is speaking to the Romans, and this is what he says. For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing that I hate. If you read that passage in Romans chapter 7, what Paul lays out as this principle that we all are familiar with is that that's battle of our flesh. We want to do something, and our spirit's telling us to do it, but our flesh makes us do something else. It's that constant warring and battle that we have within our lives. It doesn't go away, friends. It's going to be with us until the day we die and we leave this earth. We're going to be stuck with our flesh. But God gives us the answers. He gives us the ability to live past that and above that if we are led by our spirit. And if we allow Holy Spirit to fill our needs and make sure that we don't let that emotion creep up. So that leads us to our big takeaway written on the bottom of your notes there. If you let your needs drive you to God, God will meet your deepest needs. But you can't be led by your emotions. You can't be led by your flesh to have this happen. You have to be led by the Spirit. And here's the thing. This is what it all boils down to, and this is the whole reason why we have this story in the Old Testament about Samson. Jesus today, friends, wants to fill your deepest needs. He is in this place, and it was evident during worship. If you weren't catching it, man, you were not paying attention. Jesus is here. He is in this place, and he wants to fill all of your needs in your life. Just like Pastor Darren was saying, if you're here this morning and there's something that happened this week and it's got you down and you don't feel like you can praise God, Jesus is here, church, to meet those needs. Jesus is here to fulfill those. He wants to fill the needs in your life, and he wants to give you the strength that you need to be led by the Spirit and to conquer these sins that creep up. Just like Samson, and he had that amazing power and strength, we can have the same supernatural strength today if we're being led by the Spirit. But it's Jesus. It's Jesus that's going to do that. So this morning, if I could have you close your eyes, bow your head. You might be here this morning and you've been listening to this and you can say, Travis, you know what? I identify with that takeaway. and there is a need, and I can feel it. It's like a giant void in my life. And you might actually be honest with yourself and with me this morning, and you say, you know what, Travis? I know what that need is now, and it actually is Jesus. I don't have him in my life. He's not in my heart and in my life fulfilling that need. And so this morning, I'm going to give you the opportunity right now to have him come into your life and fulfill that greatest need and that greatest void of being savior of your life. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to have you get out of your seat. You don't have to do anything weird. But if you're here in that in this place this morning and you can identify with that, just raise up your hand so that I can see it, or look me in the eye when I'm looking around. I see that hand. You can put it down. If you can honestly say, you know what, I need Jesus in my life. I need to have him fulfill that greatest need. Just slip up your hand. You don't have to keep it up long. And when I see it, I can have you put it down. All right. So for those of you that have raised up your hand, or maybe you didn't, but you know that that's true and that's reality, that you need Jesus in your life, I want you to pray this prayer with me. And what you're going to do when you pray this prayer is that you're going to have Jesus come into your life, and it's going to be different. And he's going to be the source of your strength so that you can be spirit-led. So in fact, everybody in this room, let's pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, I acknowledge my need of a Savior and the forgiveness of my sins. So Jesus, come into my life and forgive my sins and fill me with your Spirit. Jesus, be the Lord and the Savior of my life. Amen. Amen. If you said that prayer, it's a whole new beginning. It's a whole new beginning of Jesus living in your life and fulfilling that greatest need and that void that you have. So you can be excited about that, and make sure you talk to somebody, one of the pastors on staff or one of the other leaders, and make sure that you tell them that you prayed that prayer this morning. But here's another thing before I let you guys go that I want to pray for. And this is for everybody in this room. So actually, go ahead and close your eyes and bow your heads again. Maybe you were listening to this message this morning and you can identify with Samson, because he knew God. He knew what he was supposed to do. He knew he was called to be a judge and a leader for the Israelites, but he let emotion come up and creep into his life and basically destroy it at times. Maybe you're here this morning and you can identify with this, and you can honestly say, you know what? I'm being led by emotions and not by the Spirit. And maybe you can identify even more, you know what? It's been a long time since I've had that strength that the Bible said that Samson got when he had that water from God. And maybe you're finding yourself in this place in your walk with Christ where you feel empty, and you feel like you have just this longing and this desire to be closer to God. So this morning, if either one of those of you, I'm going to pray for you right now. The number one, you can again return to a point in your life where you're being led by the Spirit. And number two, where Jesus comes into your life again and again gives you that strength and that source of his Spirit. Lord Jesus, I pray for my friends right now. I pray for this church as we sit here, and if we've had this incredible time of worship to give you praise, and as we've listened to your word, I pray, Jesus, that you would come into all of our lives in a new and fresh way. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would fill us up with your Spirit. I pray, Lord God, that we would be able to cast our pride to the side and not let the anger get the best of us. And Lord Jesus, that we would be led by our spirits once again. And Lord Jesus, I pray that you would give us that strength that you promise in your word. Lord, we all know that we're going to struggle with our flesh from time to time, but I pray, Lord God, that you would give us the ability to walk in the Spirit as Paul encourages us in your word. In your name I pray, Lord Jesus, amen. Now here's the thing, guys. There is no more appropriate day to hear a message about being led by the Spirit than today, June 14th. And if you've been listening to the announcements the last couple of weeks, and if you don't know what's coming up, Pastor Darren's going to hit on it again before you guys leave. But tonight is a worship night for our church. My lovely wife, Wendy's going to be leading worship again along with her team. And you know what? There is no better way than to answer the prayers that you prayed this morning about being Spirit-led and about allowing Jesus to fulfill the needs in your life than coming tonight for the worship night. It's going to be a night where we're going to give praise to God. We're going to be able to sing to him and just let it all out and allow his Holy Spirit to fill us up once again. So please do not miss worship night. Make sure you come back tonight. And Pastor Darren's going to give some more details on that, and I'm going to transition out.